Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Salerno is here as the company. Treasure Island. Reno's in. We got a Reno-related topic at 4:20. It could be dangerous times on the show. Griffin is back in the Finley Toyota Studios. Mateo has the setup here. Dude, it's crazy. When we were just referencing a couple minutes ago, where we are right now is on the strip at TI. You can walk across the pedestrian bridge at Spring Mountain that turns into Sands, but Spring Mountain, LV Boulevard, a little bit of a walk, a little hot out, but you can walk back to the Sphere. And then if you want to, you could cross a different pedestrian bridge and head north on the strip. Again, a little bit of a walk, it's hot out. And go to Fountain Blue where Slap is going on, and last night was a bunch of NHL festivities. And then obviously, I think, you know what, did it already happen? They do the ceremonial weigh-in. I kind of don't even really pay attention anymore to UFC with the weigh-ins.
Yeah.
Because the real weigh-ins in the morning, and then they will do a weigh-in. But I don't know if that's this afternoon. I think they kind of did a ceremonial the day before because they have so much going on today.
Sure.
Which, by the way, on your way to Fountain Blue, just turn right. I don't know what part of or what hall is housing International Fight Week, but the convention center's right there. You can go to that.
Pretty amazing. I mean,
the dead week.
It's the greatest.
The dead week. It's, and by the way, it's ruining hotel life, Salerno. Right?
Yeah.
They priced you out?
Well, it's not even that. It's booked. Like, a lot of places don't even have a room.
Yeah.
So I had to go to a different hotel than I normally go to. But, yeah, it's crazy, man. To think back to when, you know, there wasn't a whole lot going on here but sports-wise, and now we're like the mecca of sports becoming one, pretty awesome.
Let's get to it. Big 4 at 4.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big 4 at 4. Number 4.
I don't know. I don't have a lot of knowledge on this, so I don't know that we specifically need to. You do what you want. But that we need to target a certain car in this. Is this a thing with – no, seriously, is this a thing with this brand? Anyway, long story short, an NFL player had a really severe fire because of his electric car.
Yeah. Well, it was Randall Cobb, who is currently on the Jets because Aaron Rodgers forced him to sign him. But he had a fire in his house because of his charging station caught on fire. Now, I'm going to bring it up only because I've seen a bunch of these. I don't know if it's anecdotal or not, but a lot of them are Tesla ones. So the charging station from Tesla caught on fire, and he got his family out in time. But, wow, that's scary, man, because remember for a while there was like a cell phone that was out that was catching on fire next to the bed and people were charging him? This is a giant charger that, I mean, if nobody had seen it or if he had taken, let's say his batteries were out on his, you know, whatever, his fire thing. I mean, who knows what could have happened. So thankfully he got his entire family out of there. Again, anecdotal. I do see a lot of these online. But, of course, if something happens, they're going to put it online. So I don't know if it's just these ones or if the other ones happens too. But
number 3.
Number 3.
So Greg got introduced yesterday to – we do not allow black to black, white to white, Latino to Latino.
Right.
NFL draft, NBA, draftee comparisons.
Yeah.
You got to be creative. And it's not even being creative. Think a little bit.
Right.
Because we always laugh in the NBA, you know, who said it yesterday? Wasn't someone going to compare Dalton Knecht to, it was Arash did it, to Wally Szczerbiak. I'm like, Dalton Knecht is 6'5", 212. Wally Szczerbiak was like 240 pounds, a good athlete at 6'7".
Yeah.
Like, they're not the same player. You tried to go with, because I put the pressure on you.
Well,
I was like, you got to go white to black.
Yeah,
and you're like,
not,
Paul George. Like,
I was thinking offensively more than I was defensively. Obviously, Paul George is a very good wing defender. Now, I didn't realize that the reason that there was concerns, because he was supposed to be a top 10 pick, at least everybody thought so.
Yeah.
And apparently he slipped because of some defensive concerns, which I was not aware of. So maybe the Paul George, not the best thing. But if we're talking offensively, I'm still going with Paul George.
But, you know, immediately people are like, Dalton Knecht, Austin Reeves.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know.
They can both shoot. I'll just say I saw a really crass nickname for them, and it's not going to work. I'll have to tell you off the air.
Oh, it's not? You can't say it on
there? It's pretty offensive. It's pretty offensive. So they get Dalton Knecht on the Lakers, and, of course, they get Bronny at 55, and my God, what a story that has turned into, and it's going to be for like the next 5 days. Number two.
Number two.
Then people's imagination, you'll start to run wild, and maybe it's not that wild, but since LeBron and Rich Paul and the Lakers cooperated on bringing Bronny into the organization with the 55th pick in the draft, you know, LeBron's other son, Bryce, is a class of 2025.
Yeah.
He'll graduate next year. He'll go to college for 25, 26.
Yeah.
Lakers?
No.
It's a three-year deal for LeBron.
No way.
It's a three-year deal.
I don't think.
Can you,
well, first
can you
of
imagine?
All.
One, you'd like, I think we're all rooting for, there's a lot of nastiness yesterday. I think we're all rooting for Bronny to turn into like a legit NBA player.
Sure.
I hope this works out for him. And, you know, he's not just hanging around his dad. Even that part of it's kind of cool too.
Sure.
But if it actually works.
Yeah.
Is Rich Paul calling around the NBA in 2026? Don't draft his other son, Bryce. Go to the Lakers.
The thing about Bryce, though, is he looks more like a LeBron frame, but Bronny was, like, super athletic. People are, like, you know, saying he can't play or he's not athletic. He's a very athletic kid. I mean, he had, like, a 41-inch vertical. He can run. I mean, so I don't think Bryce has that same athleticism. And, again, I'm not, like, an expert on this, but just from what I've seen, social media posts, things like that, videos – I don't think that Bryce is going to be the same type of hype. I don't think, like, if he goes to a combine, I don't think he's going to show out like Bronny did.
What's more likely, that Bryce James is drafted in 2026 by the Lakers, or at least one of us is below 200 pounds?
Oh, Bryce. Not even close. I haven't been 200 pounds since I was like 11.
You have no hope?
No.
You're on the zip. You got a couple of years. You could do it.
I know, but if I weigh 200 pounds, I look like the machinist. Like, my frame alone, I'm not doing the big boned things. I know I'm fat right now, but I'm saying.
I'm big boned.
If I did lose, if I weigh 200 pounds.
The machinist.
You would ask me if I was sick or something. Like, I would look horrible. I mean, more horrible than now.
I'll try to do it for us.
Well, I want to ask you how close you are, but.
I'm a ways away. So.
But have you been 200 pounds recently?
Oh, yeah.
Well, oh,
really? You know what's funny? Is in my mind, it's recent. It ain't recent.
Was it during the first Bush administration?
It's probably been about 10 years, but I fluctuated a bunch from like 2004 to like 11.
Yeah.
And I'd been a pretty chubby guy for a while. And one of our old company members, Taylor Byrne, finally said to me, because I would be like, I'm up and down. He's like, you have not been down in like 6 years.
I know.
Stop saying that. I'm like, oh, that's a good point. I haven't been.
People say that to me too, though. But I look at, like, if I look at pictures of me when I first started working here.
God, you are hard on yourself.
Well, you don't understand.
I discovered that yesterday. I was like, I got to take it easy.
It's different, though, if you like, no, you don't have to take it easy. But if you like, if you grow up fat, it's different than if you like become fat.
I will say, when I see pictures of you, I am a little bit shocked.
Yeah. And I mean, even ones like when I first worked here, the joke was that I was fat. I would kill to look like that now.
I know, right? You know what's funny?
Yeah.
When after I got out of school, and this is some like 30 years ago,
right?
I remember the weight I was at when I put on some weight,
sure.
And I think I had a girlfriend at the time. She's like, take it easy there. I was 193.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
exactly.
Oh man, I would love to get back down there again,
dude. I don't know if you saw. There's a basketball picture I posted of me from high school.
Yes.
I remember getting called fat then.
Yes.
And I was like, are you kidding? Only a 30-inch waist.
Top story.
Number one.
By the way, we are the worst on even making, like, sort of bets.
Yeah.
We'll never remember that. I had Von Tobel walk up to me yesterday. He was over at VSIM. We were at Circa.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I was so dying to be on the air with you. Because you remember when you said Bronny James was going to go number one in the draft? And I looked at him like, did I say that? And he's like, yeah, you said it. I'm like, well, I said it. Before he started playing college basketball, before he had a heart attack,
right?
Before he averaged 5 points a game, and also, I was thinking, hey, the Lakers are not going to work out. The timing of LeBron and Bronny, you know, coming together,
yeah,
will be perfect when LeBron's actually available.
Sure.
And I was thinking a top 10 team, if he was decent, would say, you know what, we'll do it, even in the number one hole, just for the hopes to get him, but especially LeBron, to make all the money for the next 3 years. But it became an impossibility because Bronny had his heart issue.
Yeah.
Then he wasn't good. And LeBron, apparently, he loves L.A. He ain't leaving.
So yeah.
Now that's it, thinking back.
Still a terrible take.
Hawks had the – yeah, I know. I'm trying to defend it. I'm like, well, all these things happen. I'm like, it was bad. I actually – I You know, it's funny because you keep getting on me about I've been too hard on Bronny as a pro prospect, right? And you're building the case. I actually did think he had a chance to be an outside, like at the end of the first round pick. But, you know, a lot of things happen. Again, I'm making all these excuses. He was at one point like the 17th or like 23rd rated guy going into his senior year in the 2024 class, and just a lot of things didn't work out. So he was not a candidate for number one.
No,
at all.
But you're making a good point, though, about the heart attack. I mean, come on. The kid, people are talking about what he averaged in college. The kid was recovering from a heart thing. So I get it.
Give me number one again. I don't even know if you played it.
Number one.
Boy, this nepotism thing.
Ugh.
Folks, there's so many, like, true nepo situations to rail on and rant and rave about.
Yeah.
I just don't think this one applies here. Now, it was interesting. Stephen A. Smith and Jason Williams used it talking about it. They kind of countered people who were complaining about nepotism.
Yeah.
Listen to what Jay Will said, where he's like, you know, maybe we need to practice a little more nepotism.
Don't we need more instances of black nepotism, especially when that person has the disposition and a demeanor of somebody that's worthy of being put in that position?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know what that second part means, the demeanor and disposition. I don't know what that means.
I don't either. But here's an example that I wanted to give that nobody brought up before. Here's Jerry Jones' front office, okay? This is the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody hates him. So we got Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, Charlotte Jones, and Jerry Jones Jr. Now, of course, they were all the best qualified for the job. It just happened to be all three of his children are the most qualified people on the planet. So,
I mean, I will say I hear a lot of that around. And even Stephen A. started this conversation this way about people don't talk about nepotism enough. And maybe I'm in the Cofield and Company bubble. We talk about it all the time.
Oh,
I mean,
of course.
With Jerry Jones, I've made – it's one of my central arguments in sports that sometimes you will have an elite – you know, dad of the family, a great owner, a championship owner. And then fans are like, oh, it's going to keep rolling on. I'm like, is it? Is it? Steinbrenner to this Steinbrenner? Is it? Dr. Jerry to Genie? You know, it's weird. I saw someone the other day. Actually, I think it was Steve Kim. I'm going to have to bring this up to him next Monday if I remember. And he was building this case that Genie got – she has a team because she's a woman, and Jimmy was never really given a fair shot. I'm like, Jimmy wasn't given a fair shot. He was a buffoon.
Yeah, it's silly. I don't understand that. Why would she get the job because she's a woman? That doesn't even make any sense.
She got the job because she's actually responsible and shows up for work every day and has a business mind like her dad did. Now, her dad, she's not her dad because her dad was also a wild man, you know, fornicating with everything he could get his hands on. This is one of those. Well, how about this? Are we ever going to stamp out nepotism? Should we stamp it out?
I think it depends on the situation. I mean, I'm making fun of the Cowboys, but if you own a team, I mean, whatever, you do whatever you want to do. If you are the Lakers, you do what you want. If I had kids, my kids aren't going to want for anything. You know, I mean, if I can make it to happen that way, if I had money, my kids aren't going to be struggling. So I get it.
I get irked by it, but I also look at, I don't have kids, so I can't put myself in a position of, well, I can't put myself in a position of like, I would never do it.
Right.
Never work with me. But, I mean, it's a natural thing. You want to see your kids do well. So, in this case, I don't think this is what we've been talking about at all. Let's take a break here.
Okay.
We'll come back. We can finish up on this. And then we got to get to a really interesting story by Bill Barnwell on growing the NFL to 100 cities.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
I don't want to rush you on this point, but this to me is such a weird conversation on the Bronny nepotism thing. I don't think drafting someone and putting them on a basketball team is the same as rich folks putting their kids in their company at like executive levels ahead of qualified people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why I can't make the connection. I don't think it's the same, but maybe it is.
You're right. It's not apples to apples, but I'll say this. People are acting like they drafted him number one overall. He's one of the last picks in the draft. Like, who cares? I mean, second round picks in the NBA, nobody cares. It's not like the NFL where second round picks are like very coveted picks. He was one of the last picks in the draft. He doesn't suck. I mean, he might stink, But I don't think he's that bad. He had a good combine. You're telling me there's guys that weren't picked in the 50s that are worse than him? I'm sure there are. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, I like Bomani. I saw him going nuts on Twitter about it. It's like, dude, relax. Like, I don't get it.
Well, I think his point, when Jason Williams and Stephen A. were saying, hey, the black community actually should be practicing a lot more nepotism when they get in positions of power because it's been, you know, it's been very prevalent in other communities.
Right.
That's a good debate. I mean, if Bomani's point is do the right thing and don't do that, I don't think it serves any purpose because I don't think it's going away.
It just seems like he was very upset about it, where there's so many other things to be upset about. It's like, I wouldn't let that ruin my life for 5 minutes.
I could sit and we could list and lecture about all of the nepotism in broadcasting.
Yeah, of course.
And there are people who are not as good as their parents, who are advanced or just aren't seasoned yet, who are advanced to super high levels by their time or by the time they're 24, 25 years old. Sports talk shows, I think, in the end, it turns out to be a meritocracy, because I'm not saying play-by-play is easier than doing a sports talk show. It is. but to sit here with an open mic for 3 hours, and then we're not doing something that's impossible, but to do 43 minutes and have something to say every day and not go, I don't feel like doing it today.
Sure.
And play-by-play, the action is in front of you. You've got a story to tell. Like, there's no story here. It's what we want to talk about, what we think is going to be interesting, what draws an audience. But I don't think we're stamping out nepotism. I don't think it's ever going to happen. So everyone's screaming and yelling about LeBron and Bronny. I don't get the point. And I think a lot of it is just, hey, LeBron has really developed into a villain for half of the basketball fans. So they're like, another reason not to like LeBron.
That's it, too. It's like, I think 80%. It's ridiculous how many people hate LeBron. I never really understood it. I get, like, the Skip Bayless stuff, and he started all his crap back in the day, and some other guys. But, yeah, the hate he gets, and it's kind of like the Caitlin Clark thing to me. I'm not saying she's as good as LeBron. But it's like, whenever I see somebody getting bagged on constantly, then it makes me, like, want to defend them in some way for some reason, and I start being the contrarian on all the time, even if I don't really care that much about it. So, I don't know. I don't understand it either. I don't get why everybody is hating on Bronny and why they're so mad about it. Again, if he was picked top five, okay. But he's almost Mr. Irrelevant. Who cares?
So Bill Barnwell from ESPN has come out with, I think, a really interesting story, and we're going to definitely carry this into next week. On the front end here, I just want to kind of discuss the attractiveness of some cities. But what his idea is, you know what, the NFL should go to 100 cities, have 100 teams. Now, I think the idea of going to 100 with relegation would be really interesting. First of all, that would be the end of college football. So the NFL, in an evil way, should just be like, you know what, kind of tired of dealing with you guys. For all you millionaires and in East Jabib that have good college football teams, you're done.
Right.
Okay, we're taking your players.
Right.
We're going to do the European soccer model. You couldn't have 100 in one league because there's a chance with 100 teams, you're going to start spreading the talent pretty thin, which, you know, that's something to think about, like, at the highest level, right?
Yeah,
like, are you going to thin out the talent too much? There's going to be enough quarterbacks. But the list of the extra 60-plus cities is pretty fascinating. And then there's regions that have had nothing in terms of pro football. Like, Minnesota has this massive area to its west.
Yeah.
Where there's nothing. Now, they're good, like, North Dakota State's a really good college football program. Montana State are competitive. They have good level college football, FCS. When he started listing all the cities, I was like, wow, there are some really interesting places in here, because Texas got up to, like,
nine
cities. California has 11.
Yeah.
I'll get to New York, New Jersey, which was absurd. When you look through the list, where there's some cities where you're like, I would never, ever want to go there for an NFL-related game.
Well, first of all, he has Laramie, Wyoming on here. Now, Laramie, Wyoming has a population of 30,000 people. So even if 100% of the town goes to a game, they're not going to sell out ever. Not one time. They'd have to, like, play in a little high school
Cheyenne's
stadium.
Close by. Yeah, so it's a big region. People could drive it. Have you been to Laramie?
I haven't. I actually want to go to Yellowstone, which I know is somewhere up there. I don't know.
Sure.
But
for those reasons, if you like those sort of areas,
yeah,
it's cool to go to.
Yeah,
but as a tourist destination for football games, my Lord, And I've bashed on it many times, and it's not horrible, but you're right. It is so small.
It's crazy.
There's no restaurants. There's hardly any bars. These are the things I like. These are the things that people, when they come into town, like. There's no rideshare. So I've told the story a couple times. The last UNLV basketball trip, like, we went from a small group went from one bar at like 10:30 to walk to another at 11:15, and we're like, okay, let's get a rideshare back. It's 11:45. It was an hour. It just spun. And we walked back. We walked back 2 miles. I'm like, you can't do NFL here. Stop.
Yeah.
It's a lovely place for people who like it.
Yeah. Well, I always say this about politics, too. Like, land doesn't mean people. You know, they always show a map of this, like, giant swaths of land.
Oh, there.
Yeah, but there's, like, four people there and a bison. Like, it's ridiculous.
Cities that caught my attention that – and I also – I'm also thinking, if I'm a football player, do I want to go there? Somehow the Wyoming Cowboys actually have gotten good players over the years. Alexandria, Virginia. The reason I listed this city, this is one of the 100. If you're expanding to 100 cities, an extra 60-plus cities, Bill Barnwell had this. I realize – I don't know anything about Virginia. The other day, Danny Smythe is in studio. He's from that area. And Magnum walks in, and they start having this discussion about D.C. area airports in Virginia. And I was like, I don't know. That's a state I know nothing about. All I did as a kid, all we did was drive through as fast as we could when we were going down to Florida to go to Disney World. And we had, like, a hotel we stayed at, and then we got the hell out. Like, I know I've been to the gym at George Mason and on campus a little bit. I don't know anything about the state of I just haven't been there. I mean, I do know stuff, but I don't know. Alexandria, I know, is in the D.C. area.
Yeah.
I know they've talked about building a stadium there. I guess the argument would be, you know what, D.C.'s big enough. Put two or three teams there.
My uncle used to live in Virginia, but I only know, like, one park because it's very close to D.C. and it's, like, where a lot of government CIA-type guys live, you know, that kind of neighborhood. As far as, like, suburbs and stuff, I don't really know what they have there either. But, I mean, yeah, I could see that more than some of these other ones. Like,
God.
All right.
There's some.
He has 9 teams in Texas, which, whatever. They can't even, you know.
There's some. I'm sorry. But there's some Big 12 cities that would get an NFL team here.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I got to give it a chance. But Waco and Lubbock to me seem like hell on earth.
I was just going to say, Waco. Waco, Texas. Well, I mean, I only know it for one thing. And I don't know. It doesn't seem like good PR for a football team, but maybe, I guess. I don't know what the team name would even be.
Weren't there Branch Davidians there, too?
I guess. Well, I mean, there was a cult where they locked themselves.
I have it right.
David Koresh.
Yes. Okay, Reno's on the list. I am in support of Reno. I like Reno.
Yeah.
I think it would be a good sports, you know, a big time, like, NFL city. You're expanding to 100, okay? So we're not comparing it to Vegas.
Well, again,
I think that could be, and it would probably be in a relegation area. It'd be a lower league. I got to say, I'm done with Alabama, Mississippi, and I'm glad Reggie Jackson talked about it. 50 years from now, okay? Make some progress. Jackson, Mississippi's not getting an NFL team. Get the hell out of here.
Well, I'm kind of like that. Anything between Colorado and New York, I'm trying to
That's
feel.
That's nothing. Because I was like, Fort Wayne, Indiana, I'm no.
Nah.
I'm sorry.
Good. Yeah. Nah. Maybe Gary, Indiana, right by Chicago. It's a big population area.
Oh, it's a big population area.
That's where the Jackson 5's from.
Yeah. A little trouble there. A little bit rough.
Yeah, they'll clean it up. They'll put a Starbucks in.
That will help. You know what? Actually, you're infusing money.
Yeah.
And maybe tourism into the market. Other ones that I noticed, the other one is, I really should save this for next week. We'll have to bring it up next week. They gave 11 cities in California, including the ones that have them, NFL teams. One was Bakersfield.
Oh,
Lord.
Yeah. Now.
Did you click on the link I sent over?
Yeah.
Adam Hill got into a beef with Bakersfield locals because he wrote what a crap hole it was in the RJ. And the paper in Bakersfield – got a hold of it. This is going all the way back to 2012. Las Vegas writer lobs some criticism at Bakersfield. And there's some other header, but let's see. Before Adam Hill trips on his own judgmental smugness, he might remember that zip codes are never guarantees of personal happiness.
I'll tell you this right now.
They hate him there.
I've driven through Bakersfield on the way to, like, yeah, if you want to go to Yellowstone or this, you know, Sequoia National Park, you have to go through Bakersfield.
Yeah.
It's, like, beautiful for 5 feet because there's, like, these, like, grass mountains with cows on them. And then there's, like, so much smog. It looks like Tatooine from, like, Star Wars, you know, where the sun, yeah, you can barely see it behind the smoke. I've never seen anything like that in my – I don't know if it's just because of where it is, if it all settles there from L.A., but, yeah, no, I agree with Adam on that one.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he buried them, and they got really pissed off.
I like
off
how it says boorish rant.
Yes. He's pretty boorish. Yeah. And judgmental smugness, if he could just change his name, or if he had his own show, that's – maybe the arena needs to go bye-bye. Adam Hill hosting for an hour.
Yeah.
It's time for Judgmental Smugness with Adam Hill. All right, second half of the show is on the way. We're going to talk to the Burbs, Patrick Berbert, in about 15 minutes. Get the state of the book here and all the events to bet this weekend around Las Vegas and around Nevada. Stay with us.
Live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Every once in a while, we got to mix in some comp, but it's not really comp. Salerno's with us. Greg Salerno, Cofield & Company, second half of the program here at TI, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. That's actually a dude who does a lot of mashups and different singing styles and covers.
Oh, yeah?
His name's Anthony Vincent. He's up on TikTok and Instagram. That was a Metallica-style cover of an Usher song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A little bit different.
Now
right?
I get it. Yeah. All right. That was cool. I was wondering why he said yeah over and over again. I was like, wow, he says yeah a lot. All right.
Really
makes sense
creative
now.
Yeah. I don't know if he can do all those voices, but somehow he's doing it.
You know, it's funny. That Rebecca Black song you play on Fridays, there's actually a guy that does a metal version of that, too. I forget his name right now. He's got an Italian last name, but it's
pretty
actually
good.
Pretty good. Yeah, you got to check it out.
I
might
have to mix it in. Yeah. Maybe that'll be the 4 o'clock open.
All right.
Take some notes. Let's get some notes, Griffin, please. All right. The NFL cities and expanding to 100.
Yeah.
Are you good for now? Because I don't want to rant about the other thing that annoyed me. But here's the thing. Cities that are included and then get smashed on message boards, right? Like we were, and on shows like this, we were killing, you know, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Bakersfield. I did notice that he was going to push the areas, the cities that would have an NFL team in New York and New Jersey to like 9. And every single edition was just a borough of New York City. I'm like, for Jersey guys like myself, I'm like, there's some places that are pretty nice. You could,
where's the Parsippany, football team?
Well, you could actually, if you, like you joked during a break, you know, Newark would be great. I'm like, don't do Newark. But if you went further west, there actually are super wealthy areas.
Oh, of course.
With people who make oodles of money who commute into New York. But
lots of trees and grass.
A Jersey Shore team would be lovely.
Oh, yeah.
A team near Atlantic City.
Yeah.
Not that near, but near.
Yeah.
It would be awesome.
I mean, there'd be a lot of fights in those games at Atlantic City, but it'd be fun to watch.
It would be. Yeah, you don't think the 5 boroughs having teams?
Not like Atlantic City, man.
A Staten Island NFL team?
Atlantic City, I think fight per second, the clubs in Atlantic City have more than any I've ever been to in my entire life. It's always like some guy like, hey, I'm growing roots over here. Where's my drink? And then all of a sudden it's just like a big fight. And, you know.
That is a line I've never used. I generally don't yell at servers and you go, you know, I'm waiting too long. Like,
yeah.
Relax.
Well, I've seen waiting. I don't want that to happen to my stuff anyway. So,
we got an update on the Mets and this new kind of good luck they've gotten with the Grimace first pitch about 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah. What is it?
Did you? Well, no. The update is I was going to get the score, but. There was a video the other night of someone in a giant Grimace outfit during a rain delay throwing down beers, and the whole crowd is like, yeah. They actually were doing Metallica. Yeah.
That's great.
Do we need to stop with the Grimace?
I don't know. I mean, if something's fun, who cares? It's sports. Just keep doing it until it runs. Like, I think Gritty's one of the most fun things
in sports. I love Gritty.
Yeah, he's great.
And he's
never gets old.
And he's of that ilk.
Yeah.
kind of the orb shape. I don't know what shape, a teardrop shape, I guess.
Yeah, I would
very
say.
Hippie.
Yeah. It's kind of, have you ever seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
No.
It's like this like really like B movie horror film,
right?
But it's like a, kind of a cult classic, and they're kind of shaped like that, like bowling pins.
So they're all built like the Philly Fanatic.
Yeah, exactly.
Gritty. There used to be a, when the Nets were in New Jersey, their mascot was named Duncan, and he was same thing. It was just like some small shoulders and a giant fat ass.
Yeah.
But he could dunk somehow off a trampoline. By the way, Mets update. Boy, the Astros are being the Astros, right? They are on fire. They're 500 again after that terrible start. I know. Exactly. With terrible pitching injuries. Right now, first inning, 1-1 between the Astros and the Mets.
Live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, Risk Supervisor at the Treasure Island Sportsbook, Patrick Berbert, joins Cofield and Company.
Salerno alongside Cofield, Cofield and Company, Mateo with the setup. Griffin, back in our Findlay Toyota studios. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Battleborn Injury Lawyer. 766-1400 is the number. 775. Dial it in the north, 775-766-1400. Reno, Vegas, downtown Vegas, and Henderson have offices for Battleborn Injury Lawyers. So a lot to get to. We're tracking baseball. Have you guys, Patrick, have you shaded almost in fear the Mets because of Grimace? Did you see the first pitch?
I've looked into that a little bit. I've
you have
that.
Not looked into stuff.
Well, I've you seen it on Twitter. Okay, on good. Twitter, that's no, what that's.
I actually
I mean.
Thought you were answering the shading the number. Yeah, we're bumping everything up by 20 cents because Grimace is
still waiting on the algorithm on that one.
I see it on Twitter, but no, we have not taken that into effect here.
Did everyone on the crew actually see the first pitch by Grimace? Because I think that got kind of covered up. Everyone just ran with it, like, oh, since the first pitch, you know, they went on a 7-game win streak. Did you actually watch it?
I saw it on the social media. I didn't watch it, obviously, live.
Okay. I mean, you threw out a first pitch 2 weeks ago at the Aviators, and
yeah,
I hate
to keep rehashing it.
Well, we kind of do, because the guy had on a big, puffy, purple outfit, and he didn't reach the plate. He bounced it, but.
Okay. Guess what? My puffy outfit's real. He's probably 160 pounds inside his puffy outfit.
I was waiting for you to make an excuse like I did at the beginning of the hour with the Bronny James will go number one. We were like, all right, enough. You made four excuses. I'll make the excuse for you. Whoever was in that Grimace outfit like really took it seriously, and there's no doubt in my mind warmed up with the outfit on because that person, I'm assuming it's a he, they actually did really well.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, if you warm up, that's a whole different story. You know? I'm popping scar tissue over here, first pitch.
Isn't by the way, if you had to throw a first pitch, you know we've never asked you about any sort of athletic background. Could you get on a mound, get, like two warm-up pitches, could you get on a mound and be respectable?
I played pitcher in right field back when I played baseball.
See? I was just about to say, I was going to
guess. You said you did too!
I mean, I did. I didn't play
right
field.
Then you did this like Louis Tion, like missed the target.
Hey, first of all, my motion was fine. Pitch was off target. Let's not get carried away. I am sad that I didn't do as, you know, as well as I wanted to. But yes,
and he's been getting ridden about it. And now Magnum at the station, who I think is an absolute non-athlete.
I have 20 bucks.
I've never asked him about it. Yeah. I don't think he can do anything athletically.
Clay Baker and I have 20 bucks that he's going to screw it. I think he's going to screw it up, and then Clay said he's not. So we'll see what happens. I think I was just bitter because mine sucked. So.
Well, I think everyone from here at Lotus Broadcasting is going to lob it. So you're kind of cooked. You have to get another chance.
Not everybody can lob it and get it to go in the right place.
No.
Lauren.
Yeah, she didn't do too well. She didn't do too well. All right, so let's – I want to – first of all, I know everyone here wasn't booking Bronny bets, but did you see some of the crazy stuff out there? One, you actually could bet number one pick. I would not have bet it. There were long – I think it was like 50-1, which is – like in terms of true odds, like that looks attractive. Those are not the true odds on Bronny one, right?
That's just awful. There's just no way in the world that anybody was going to take Bronny James number one overall. Yep. It's not even like he was a college star. He was a freshman, and he's only coming to the league right now, and he was only drafted because his dad's there, and the Lakers wanted him to play with his dad.
And I underscored the underestimated, misrepresented the odds on that. It was actually 250-1, but I still don't think those are true odds. There was also a big number on Lakers at 17 to take Bronny James at -160.
It was never going to happen because they knew that they were going to be able to grab him in the second round just because other teams weren't interested. And then plus all the talk about Rich, I think his agent Rich Paul, yeah, came out and said that he would go over and play in Australia,
yep,
if
don't
somebody
draft
else drafted him.
That's great.
I mean, if you're going to make these bets, you got to be somewhat informed.
Oh, of course.
I know it's a good storyline. It's a sexy story, but come on.
Yeah, no,
you're wasting money.
It's ridiculous. But, all right, speaking of the Lakers, a lot of times in politics, like if a certain guy gets elected or they think he's going to get elected, stock market will go up, down, companies, you know, whatever. Is there anticipation of the Lakers making a move? Is that showing up anywhere in the line? Or would it be like after they made the move, all of a sudden the line's going to change? Huge.
It's tough to know really what the Lakers are going to do this season as far as moves. But from a betting perspective, we get an influx of bettors that come here from L.A. and just slam the Lakers,
yeah,
all season long. Doesn't matter what the odds are. So as far as true odds, we have to set the Lakers a little bit lower than everybody else just because the liability piles up way too much on them. And then obviously, I mean, LeBron James, I know it's towards the end of his career, but any LeBron James-led team is always a threat to do something in the playoffs.
What should the odds be right now with this roster, Lakers, to win the title next year?
If it was me personally, I'd probably have the Lakers closer to like 40-1-ish.
Wow, that's not a bad bet, man. I might hit that.
Well, but he ain't offering it. that's right. I mean, it's not because not only do you have the Californians, you have the popularity of the Lakers. It's LeBron. But Greg hinted at it, and I think all these odds when you guys set it, all these sports books with free agency on the way, there can be such fluctuation that you already build it into the number. So I don't know. I don't think anything in the mid-range, I'll give you a couple teams, but I don't think anything in the mid-range is good value, because if they can add someone, like you're already paying the price for the possibility that they're going to add somebody.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I mean. If you're anticipating it already, it's kind of a bad bet, but depends on who they get too, though. I mean, if they were to pull like some miracle off and get Durant or something crazy like that,
right,
I mean, then, you know, who knows?
Right, but they're not going to offer the number that, you know, you're going to get, 12-1, and all of a sudden, oh, that was a great value. Now it's 6, maybe.
Right.
And I think books did get burned a little bit the second time LeBron went to Cleveland, right? Because not that it came out of nowhere, but I think there was a good amount of spec betting, like pretty far out. Do you remember that?
I don't recall it.
Yeah, I think there was a hit there. And then once books get hit on something like that, then everything's going to tighten up a little bit. I'll give you longer shots, and you tell me what your number is. So what's your number on the Suns?
On the Suns, we have, for that, we're looking at 20-1 over here.
Would you bet the Suns at 20-1? On the surface, it doesn't appear they have much maneuverability because of the three big salaries, but
yeah. Yeah, I would. I mean, again, it's NBA, so you only need a couple, you know, good stars to have a great year for you to go far in the playoffs. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but 20-1, I'd probably do that.
Okay. Cavaliers, what do you got them at?
Cavaliers are 35-1 over here.
Cavs?
I mean, you're kind of throwing money away, but I guess.
You don't think they can make a significant addition?
Man, it's hard to get people to go. I mean, unless you're LeBron's there, it's hard to get people to go to Cleveland. I don't know. I don't think so.
Where do you have the Knicks now?
We're at 10-1 on the Knicks.
Where were you before? Did you have some massive change with Mikal Bridges?
We didn't really have. We just put our numbers up.
Okay.
Right after the Bridges.
All right. Because I had heard there were places that are 15-20-1, and Bridges. The addition moved him.
Yeah,
to 9-10-1.
Some spots are you're even seeing 7-1 on the Knicks.
I've seen that. What do you think of the move?
I love the move. I mean, I'm a little biased here. I'm a Knicks fan from New York, but I love the move for them. I don't know. The Celtics are still the best team in the East, and the Knicks are going in the right direction. They're making the right moves with this roster and getting the pieces that can mesh well together. I still think they need a little bit more, especially on the depth side.
Talking to Patrick Berber, risk supervisor for the Treasure Island Sportsbook. I got to ask you about this title, risk supervisor, because it kind of reminds me of like at like a retail store where they have the guy that walks around and like peeks through like the Pop-Tarts to see if anybody's stealing or something like that? Like, what exactly is risk supervisor mean?
So risk supervisor is we are monitoring all the betting lines, all the liability that comes across the counter, and just kind of keeping the business afloat to make sure that it doesn't go south.
Also making sure when certain sharps come in that the antennas go up. So, like,
yeah.
Steve Cofield goes up to the window, and I'm like, you know what? I want $2,000 right now on the Heat at 40-1 for the title. Patrick comes running up. Oh! No. No. We'll let you do 2,000, but now the odds are 11-1. That's what. No. I mean, it is part of it. You do have to keep an eye out for, you know, the people that can do some damage. So on that, I think the Heat are another team that has a lot of possibilities. If they move on from Jimmy Butler, I don't think they're just going to, you know, cave in and go, hey, we're good winning 31 games. What do you have the Heat at?
Heat, we're sitting at 30-1 on the Heat.
Right.
I mean, Jimmy Butler wasn't healthy this past postseason. But I think that, you know, any Eric Spoelstra-led team is always a threat. He's an unbelievable coach, and what he's able to get out of his players, I respect him a lot.
You said 30-1 on them?
30-1.
See, I'd go with that over Cavs at 35-1. The Heat. Just and because it's got Spoelstra, like he said. You know.
And then my favorite, I think the Pacers, like, that was the growing year last year. They weren't healthy. What do you got Pacers at for the title?
Pacers are at 35-1 for us. They showed a lot in the playoffs this past postseason. We had a lot of questions about their defense coming in. We knew their offense was great. And come the playoffs time, their defense did step up significantly from what we saw during the regular season.
Yeah, you're right. They were injured. And you know, back to the Knicks, too, also had a lot of injuries, too. So I think there's a couple teams in the East that could possibly give the Celtics some trouble. I got to hear this, though. They haven't made a move yet, okay? I know I'm Yankees, but I'm also a Sixers fan. I know that's weird. Talk about it later. What do you got the Sixers at right now?
Sixers right now are 12-1 for us. I think they
look at him. You got real sheepish there. You're like, yeah.
Well, I you know, Embiid being healthy is just such a toss up. But yeah. So now, if they made a move, I don't. You know, again, I have no idea. Paul George, whoever. Where do you think if they got a third max player? Where do you see maybe that move into? What's the highest you think you might see them at?
I think you could see them go down to like probably 8-10-1 range, just because the East, it all runs through the Celtics still.
Sure.
And there's so now, you know, the Knicks got a lot better as well. And the Knicks just beat the 76ers this past season.
Sure.
So I think you're looking in that 8-10-1 range with them.
Okay.
We got to close on this. We got ESPN Reno with us during the 4 o'clock hour. You're going back home coming up? I actually did not know you were a Reno guy. I mean, we probably talked about it, but I forget things.
I have family up there, okay. But I'm not. I'm from New York.
That's a good point.
Reno.
You did say that earlier. Okay. Do you have a good time when you go there?
I do. I do. It's a nice little getaway from Vegas. It's a little more quiet up there. And I go golfing up there when I go, so it's nice.
Actually, is some nice golf courses up there. I'll give them that. I don't even golf. I don't even know how. I've never done it in my whole life.
You said that like an expert. I'm like, oh, Greg.
Because I was driving around. I did a comedy show up there once at the UNR, the university up there. Uh-huh. And we did drive around, did some sightseeing. I did see some beautiful golf courses up there. So.
Patrick, we appreciate it.
Thank you for having
me. Thanks for filling us in on the latest with the NBA and the lines. We'll get some soccer finals up here in a second when we come back. Copa America going on. Obviously, we've got Brazil in town playing over at the Al, so we'll get you the latest on that one as well. I'm looking forward to the 5 o'clock hour. No more Grimace, though, right?
If you want Grimace.
No, I can see the hurt is there, and we don't need to keep pounding you on your first pitch, and I'm really hoping that Magnum is a disaster. Oh, and by the way, you had no one to warm up with, no crew around you. I think there's like a whole crew tomorrow.
Oh, of course. Him. Of
they'll
course
be,
there
be,
is.
They'll be
yeah, they'll be retweeting it, warming them up. Sure, every angle, whatever.
Don't be all bitter.
Whatever.
5 o'clock hours on the way. We're going to talk NBA Summer League. Bobby Marks, who was on ESPN and is one of their great experts during the draft, he's going to join us as well as we're live here. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside. TI, get one of those great apps. Mini pork bites. Let's get some mini
chicken
pork
salad,
bites.
Dude.
You're right. Chicken salad. That's your thing.